Thank you, ladies. I now ask that you would give your silent prayers, draw your thoughts and your attention into Speaker of the Hour, that the words that he would give us would be borne upon that Spirit into our hearts, and that would give us understanding and perhaps encourage us in the year to come. So I give to you our brother and priest, Stephen Kimball.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Get myself all situated here. I greet you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I think very appropriate to say Merry Christmas to everyone. I get it out of the way so that I just covered everybody with Merry Christmas right there. I am thankful to be here today. I must admit with this sermon, I battled with this thing. I knew for quite a while that I was going to have it, and I may say this every time I preach, I don't know, but I had all kinds of scriptures written down. I think with a couple hours preparation, I've got at least three other sermons ready to go. But as I sat down to write this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it took me another direction. It's kind of funny. I think there's a difference between creativity and imagination, and it's kind of fun when I see brothers come up here. They're certainly be used to the Lord, but they've got a great talent for speaking. I think I have imagination, which gets me in trouble a lot of times. But, I kept coming back to the story of Jesus, and I knew we were going to have a Sunday school this morning all together and have breakfast, which ladies, all that were responsible for that, I greatly appreciate that. I enjoyed that tremendously, but I thought Brother Joel was going to, I didn't realize there'd be a presentation. I thought he was going to go through this, but anyways, I kept battling with this, and I kept coming back to it, and I'm gonna go with this today. And I quite simply, I'm not going to have a lot of comments for this first part, but it's something you may not hear. It's something I do with my kids every year. This is probably a little bit longer version, but we're going to read the Christmas story. And like I said, I'm not going to comment much. It's a lot of reading here at the beginning, as you can imagine. But I'm going to start in Luke. starting in verse 5. There was, I'm going to try to read this not fast, but so you can understand it, and I'm not boring you with this. But, you know, it's a story that I felt like, we don't hear a lot. You know, maybe the kids get to study this in Sunday school a lot and stuff, but, you don't get to hear it read here a lot. And I want to read it from the beginning. I am one that can hear anything and get my mind messed up of direction and how things happen, but I want to read it as the Gospel of Luke tells us, and we'll go to Matthew a few times. But starting in verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both now were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts and the fathers to children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the land. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and did herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Sorry, Sarah, can you get me a cup of water, please? So we see here, it's talking about John the Baptist, and we're not going to get much further than the birth of Christ. I appreciate my brother's words this morning as he covered the whole thing. I was tempted to go through some of the prophecies and stuff, and then the Lord led me another way. But we see John the Baptist, and part of the duty, as we'll talk about here, is that he's to prepare the way. He's to prepare the way, and we'll read certainly for the bulk of what I'll call this sermon is he was to baptize the Christ. Reading on, 26. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her in mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth," thank you, "and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age, and she is in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it upon me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." I'm going to turn to Matthew, and you can hold your finger in Luke, and we'll be back. Go to Matthew 1, 18 through 25. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as the mother..." I'm sorry, we're in verse 18, chapter 1 of Matthew. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." Hold your finger there. I'm going to go back to Luke, back to verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into a house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is thy name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of his heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child and called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to the father how he would have called him. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid upon him their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us as the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we were being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all the days of her life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Sorry, not much further. So we'll read chapter 2 of Luke, 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not that, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was, with an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go on into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. All right, Matthew 2, just 12 more verses in this story. This is Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born of the king of Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when we have found him, bring me word again, and it may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return in Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So here we have the story. As they say, he is the reason for the season. As we sit here on Christmas Day, I don't know how many of you take the time to read that story in your homes. I do it every year with my kids. I am one that loves this time of year. It's always been such a blessing to my family. I know it's not always pleasant memories to everybody. For me, certainly for the last, probably my entire career at Bayer, I've had enough vacation time that I take the rest of the year off. I remember as a kid that my dad would take time off. And you know, despite some of the pressures for presents, and I know some fights would happen, to me it was always the most peaceful time of year. My family was there with me. You know, and it was the reason, you know, Jesus Christ was the reason for that season. I mean, we get the opportunity. I know we can pick and look at things that happen at Christmas that are wrong. But if we remember, you know, kind of that glass half full thing, you know, this is Jesus Christ. How many more opportunities are we given as people say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? I get even more encouraged to talk about Jesus Christ and how many people take the one time a year to come to church, you know, for Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking here, but for the world, you know, it's an opportunity that we keep coming back. And I don't care what the world says about this season, you know, for years and years and years and eons, you know, this has been a time where we celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot more into that, and we're going to talk about the life of Jesus Christ in this. But this time of year has always brought me great joy. I love this story. There's so much in this story, if you read it. The simplicity of it, you know, the angel Gabriel appearing, John the Baptist preparing the way. There's so much. The angel prepare. You know, how many of you are prepared to see an angel? You don't just sit around going, all right, when's the angel going to show up? It happens. And you're going to be sore afraid or awestruck or, you know, there may be great joy, whatever emotion that you have. But the simplicity of the stories is true. And we have the power of this word right here that God gave us that we're able to read and study. And the world tries to change this, and I know in our minds, if you don't read this, things get skewed around. You watch too many movies that don't do the story justice, and we forget that there is a God. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of power. He's a God of fulfillment. He's a God of prophecy. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have eternal salvation, the gift of that Son. You know, I think about Christ and his life, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself a little bit, but, you know, Christ came on this earth, and you think about this, right? You know, when we think about it, we can talk about heaven and talk about these things, but when Christ walked this earth, you know, he knew. You know, he knew the things that were going to come. And I'm not lightening what he did, but he knew these things, and yet he was extremely obedient to his Father, the things that he should do, and he did it for us, you know, us lowly human beings. You know, Mary said it well when she said, you know, me of low something, what's that word, esteem, you know, that's what we are before our God, that he would condescend to our level and come amongst us and worship us. Let's go on. I'm sure there's something else I forgot to say there, but I want to read real quick. I want to skip over to Matthew 3. And as I said, this is really the shortest part, but the bulk of the sermon I want to talk about. I want to go to chapter 3 of Matthew, and I read 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus to Galilee of Jordan unto John, as we know John the Baptist, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered, said unto him, Suffer it be now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus went, he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Nephi expounds upon that, and we'll go to 2 Nephi chapter 13. This is on page 161. I'm going to read verses 6 through 14. Wherefore, and keep in mind, this is prophecy that's happening beforehand. This is Nephi was praying about this, and he was given this information, obviously before the birth of Christ, but he had a very clear picture. As several, you can see, even in the prophets, they knew of his coming. But let's read 6 through 14. Wherefore, I would that ye should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord showed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need we have, being holy, to be baptized, yea, even by water. And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showed unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witness unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of the dove. And again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path, the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set an example before them. And he saith unto the children of men, Follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we be willing to keep his commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. We have a commandment that Christ came, he was baptized, and in that commandment he asks us to be baptized. So I look around this room, I've said this before, there are so many in this room, I don't know what the percentage is, has already sought baptism. I know there are others that will enter those waters again. But the simplicity of this message, it was a commandment. And to believe in Jesus Christ and to believe in the Father, he says to us, follow thou me. And so he did it as an example. He goes into the waters and is baptized the same way that we have need to be baptized. And it's an important message. This is a simple story. This is not a long story. And this is a message that we can tell people, that we have to follow that commandment. that this record is true, that for us to understand God, it's not in our conversations typically. It's in the Word of God. That we have to open up these manuals, this Bible and the Book of Mormon. We have to open these manuals. And don't think for a second that this Bible will not lead you to the Book of Mormon, because it will. And we have two manuals that we can follow, and it's essential that we read those. I want to take you, I didn't know if I would read this. I had it up here just in case, and I feel led that I should read this. I was sitting in church one day, and it was brought to my mind about the scripture in Moroni, chapter 7, where he talks about good being of God and evil being of the devil. And this was something that I wrote. It sounds kind of silly, but this is how I wrote it down. This was in May of 2012. It was brought to my mind that which is good is of the Lord, and that which is evil is of the devil. He is not a respecter of persons, so this is the law for all people. So love is not for just believers. Love is of God and is good no matter whose possession it is in. Even a person of poor report can be in possession of love. If it is love, it is good, and it is of God. That was brought strongly to my mind. Those words. You know, I think about this story that we've been going through in Alma about the Lamanites and these people that were, you know, they were a poor people. And they wanted to worship. They weren't allowed to worship. They were persecuted by the other people, and the other people were worshiping incorrectly. And they would go up on this pedal and they'd chant the same thing over and over again, and they'd come down, and that was their form of worship. And the Lord saw fit to send a messenger to them to teach them of Jesus Christ, as we learn today. You know, and that's part of our responsibilities, is to teach people of Jesus Christ. And by reading that, you know, it's not just to our neighbors that need to hear it and our co-workers, but there's a whole lot of people that need to hear this message. I've certainly been lax in my duty of spreading this gospel. You know, I take that path of least resistance, whoever's standing there, whatever opportunity. But I think I'm missing the boat. You know, it's time to get out and to get to these people, wherever they might be, in jails, poor houses, you know, wherever that may be. You know, it's time. Maybe I don't go out there blindly, but I put it to prayer. We should all consider this as a local. I talked about this a couple Wednesdays ago. You know, it should be part of our prayer. I mean, we read this story, we have this time of joy in their Savior Jesus Christ. And is it not our duty, our responsibility, to tell people of this love and this peace that you can have, even to a great extent on this earth? We have an opportunity to eternal life, and we've got to tell people. And just because someone is of low report, you know, doesn't mean that they can't hear this gospel message. And let's go more. I want to go more into Nephi 13. I want to read 15 through... I'm going to finish this chapter, but I'm not reading it all. 15 through 17. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which you have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brother, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and Holy Ghost, and then you can speak with the tongues of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Brothers and sisters, we have to believe that message. It's very simple said. If you've stepped into those waters of baptism, and you've had those hands laid on you, you have been given the Holy Ghost. And just by this very word, you have to believe that it dwells within you, that you are the temple of God, and you hold this Holy Ghost, and then that you can utilize that power for whatever the Lord desires of you. It's there, and we have to believe it. It's not a feeling. It's not deja vu. It's something powerful that the Lord has given us, a comforter. Verse 18, on the contrary to that, but behold my beloved brother, and thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witness unto the Father that you are willing to keep his commandments by the baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire of the Holy Ghost and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels. And after this, ye should deny me. It would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And we can see what power this is that it's given unto us, that if we would reject it, what our fate would be. 23 through 25. For this cause have they been shown unto me that ye might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate which ye should enter is repentance and baptism of water. And then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to life eternal. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses to the Father and the Son, and to the fulfilling of the promise which ye hath made. If ye have entered into that way, ye should receive. And I read too far. We're to repent, become baptized. I'm going to read that verse again there, sorry. We're to repent and be baptized, to come before the Lord. Believe that you have this power. Believe that it exists. And if you have not felt this, I've said for a long time, I have a great desire, not just for my kids, to be touched with the gifts of the Spirit, to understand that there is a God, that there is a God that moves among His people, but we need to be prayerful. And if you haven't received this gift, or you're worried about the things that the Lord can do for you in dreams and visions, what you're supposed to do in life, that the Lord can answer you, then take the time. You know, don't expect you can just walk along and do nothing and get and receive everything. You must serve the Lord. You must serve Him. You must take the time in prayer and in fasting. You must take the time in reading the Scriptures, attending church services, going to reunions. You know, your life should not be work or school or playtime. Your work should revolve around God, and that the things that you do in between are just part of life that you have to have, and God must be most important. Let's read 27 to 30. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done, behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus the Father. Thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor by name, by under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. You know, once we've been baptized, we repentance, the endurance phase starts. You know, we must be in continual watch care and in prayer, in love for our brothers and sisters. You know, to talk about, like I said, that love that any can be in possession of. There's no words or scriptures that you're going to read that can only be given to members of the Church of Christ or Christ-believing people. It can be an atheist. It can be a Muslim. It can be in possession of this love. And they just need to hear the Word of God, the correct and the true and the only entrance to Jesus Christ. All right, I want to turn to John 4. That's John 5. That's the reason it doesn't look right. So, I had no intentions of reading this whole thing, but I just want to get into some of this. This is the time when Christ went up to the well to the Samaritan woman, and he asked for water, and he was telling her about that, you know, that he had the water. And at one point, I think it's interesting, just to introduce to who this lady is. In verse 16, he says, "Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For as thou hast had five husbands, and he thou now hast is not thy husband's. And in that saidest thou truly." And we see this woman. She's not here. I can talk about her. But she obviously was not a woman of probably good report. You know, by her answer, you could tell she was doing things that she didn't believe. You know, could you imagine a woman amongst us today that had five wives? We probably would form an opinion about her and probably dislike her. I mean, I would hope not. I would hope that we would love them. But the woman that Christ approached was a sinful woman, as we are sinful. And so I want to go to 31, and I want to read through... I want to read 31 on to, I think, 38. And this is in the same story, obviously. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look into the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. Christ tells us, I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 36, And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know, the fields are white. They're ready to be reaped. And here this lady, you know, just taking that one simple message and running, telling, you know, she goes off and tells all these men what Christ did and what he did for her. And she was able to convert a whole bunch of people over to Jesus Christ. We have a need to serve the Lord and to reap those rewards, to spread this gospel message to all those that would hear it. We need to lead people to the baptism of water with fire. We need to teach them. You know, we need to teach our young people, obviously, and we need our young people not be shy to tell their friends about Jesus Christ. And we need to start reaping and harvesting as we are doing this, but we should make it our certainly part of our prayers to go forward and to do these things. I want to close with Alma, chapter 10. This is page 351. This is a beautiful prayer. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words, and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would be humble yourselves before the Lord, and call upon his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which we can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at that last day and entered into his rest. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down this wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. There's so much said in that passage of Scripture, and it's a great prayer that he was given, or a great request. You know what? If you're sick, if you're hurting, if your life's full of sin, petition the Lord. Seek your brothers and sisters. You know, I'd like to look out here today and look at everybody and say that, you know, you're all a bunch of perfect saints and there's no problems or issues in your life. But I know, unfortunately, I know it's not true. If you have burdens, share them. If you're afraid to share them, find somebody you can share them with. It may not be your family. It may not be your friends. Scares me to death you sharing your burdens with me, but I'd be gladly take them. Gladly help you with them. If there's something holding you back from baptism, ask. And you shall receive. Thank you for your time.